Let's get them boys here tonight to tell you about soul survivors and bad drivers and death designers. Come on! Skeleton Boys in the house.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Hello, it's the Skeleton Boys. I'm John.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, Soul Survivors, A Final Destination Saga. This week, we will review The Final Destination.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know why I introduced myself like I was drunk, too. I apologize.
You know, you were just caught up in your books and your...
Riverside decorative cap.
Visual effects.
And my inability to stack books properly on the very, very top shelf for whatever reason.
Just a bunch of books turned over their pages.
There's clearly space in like two other shelves, but it's fine.
As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give it first thoughts, and then we go to do spoiler analysis. Before we kick off and go back to reviewing Final Destination, we're going to...
We should probably talk about that I saw the movie The Deliverance.
No, let's not rehash that, please.
It is very faith-based, so you can assume I didn't really like it all that much.
Well, I do pray at the altar of this show, though. From is back, baby. Season 3, Episode 1, titled Shatter, like he shat. Like he shat his pants. No,
so,
but
yeah, come on, Boyd and Donna, fist fight.
I'm so excited. Finally, we're like OG Frummers. What do we call ourselves?
I don't know. Frummers.
I don't know. This is one of our favorite shows. Consistently. Entertaining, and especially where they left off last year, where we had a character actually leave the town. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Are you excited? It's me, John. Are you ready?
Yes. And I don't say this lightly. It's okay if you kill off the kid.
Yeah, that seems to be our always thing. Yes. We're okay. Let the kid die.
We're used to seeing babies revealed in ovens and stuff like that.
So yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. We'll definitely get there. But
also, if your motherly instinct is to not help your family,
yeah, she's still kind of like dead set on trying to like solve the mystery of this place. She's just as obsessed as her husband, and we're talking, of course, about the Matthews family. More specifically, we're talking about what are their names? Why does IMDb list these people so oddly?
Yeah, it's Jim, Tabitha, Ethan, and what the hell's her name?
I don't know. They may have changed the actress. She looks totally different.
I was gonna say she, like, it's supposed to be like the next day, and she has like her facial features have matured. Her baby fat is gone. She looks dramatically different. Maybe it's because she had the nightmare. And Jade grows facial hair like nobody's business.
Because yes,
that ear got gigantic overnight.
So according to where we are, the season premiere of From is that we are literally the next day from where we left off last season, where we had Boyd destroy whatever that thing was that got out, and we had Tabitha escape from the lighthouse to our time, presumably, right? And I'll go on record and say that I really thought that we would not see Tabitha, you know? I thought maybe the actress, we would always see her, that she maybe wants like maybe less of a full-time schedule. Maybe that's where my immediate thoughts went, because anytime a character... Yeah. like this, something big like this happens, usually because they're written off in some way or have a reduced screen time. No, literally the very first thing after a season recap from last season, we get Tabitha in the hospital. Yeah. And she is talking to the nurse, and she's not really saying much. I guess she's still in shock, right? That she doesn't even know where she is.
Yeah, and there's also like the police needed to check up on her because she's technically a Jane Doe, I guess.
Yeah.
So she escaped.
Because she didn't have any like personal effects aside from her like lunchbox that what's his face gave Victor.
Yes.
So.
Which she finally looked inside of. Apparently, it took her that long to finally look inside and be like, "Oh, there's a fucking address."
So she's wandering around. You know what would have been so cool? I don't know why I had this thought. It would have been great if she comes back and then everybody, it's like COVID time and everybody's masked up and like social distance. She doesn't know any of it. Yeah. That would have been so fucking, that would have been like, oh, like what's all this? Because she asked for, you know, the phone and she like runs into people. I just thought, I don't know why I thought that. It was like, did she know anything about COVID? Is this COVID at this time or whatever? That would have been a different show. Yeah, and then she kind of is wandering around the streets not knowing what to do, and she sees the little boy again, a very much older little boy that was in the that pushed her out of the lighthouse. I guess yes. it's supposed to be the same child, but the kid is clearly a little older or aged, which immediately made me think that this isn't our world. This is where my conspiracy brain went, that this could be another thing.
I feel like it probably is our world, but I was gonna say she keeps following this kid that keeps appearing, right?
Right.
That obviously she's the only person who can see, and she goes into a like what, an ice cream shop or coffee shop, something I forgot, and sees a kid there. Pulls a kid and she asks something weird. I was like, it was kind of a weird thing to ask somebody randomly. But they everybody gets mad at her, like, "What are you doing? Stop touching my kid." And like everybody's looking at her like she's crazy when this fucking child, not even child, is wearing an all white like white shorts, white belt, white shirt. Like, no, this guy's weird. Mom, you're weird. What is this?
It's pre-Labor Day. He's getting it all. His...
getting it out of his system, I guess. I'm like, who dresses like this? Of course I'd be weird.
Of course I'd be confused. You're wearing the exact same shit as that fucking weird kid I see.
That would have been my defense if like I fucked up like that. Like, oh shit, it's not the kid. I'm like, what are you doing touching my kid? I'm like, what? I'm the weird one? Look at what the fuck's he wearing? I thought it was a ghost.
Continue that. She doesn't know what to do next, and then she decides to go to church and talks to a very kind of awkward priest. he's too nice.
Runs out of the confessional to go like, what was the child's name?
I don't know if it was the actor's I don't know. It was not.
He didn't seem very priest-like, I guess.
Yeah. I know we're ragging on the show a little bit, but like, it's so great to have the show back. It's so good. But so she just decides to look inside the lunchbox and see an address and the name. And I think Victor told her as much to like look in the lunchbox. So she goes to the address. And we meet Victor's dad. So he was not with them when they went to the town, just the mother. But we kind of assume that maybe the mother escaped at some point, right? That was kind of like hinted at because she knew about the trees.
Yeah. You know, I was briefly just, I just want to get it out of my system. I was briefly talking about how they used Robert Joy, which we know from Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
And I miraculously could deduce what character he played in Millennium, which is an old film.
Yeah.
But I was saying, like, is it supposed to be his dad or, like, his brother? No, because Scott McCord, the guy that plays Victor, was born in 71, and Robert Joy was born in 51. He just oddly looks younger than his son.
Yeah, Robert Joy looks, it kind of doesn't, how old is It could, yeah, I can see how you're confused by that, because yeah, because was it Victor looks rough? Are we saying he's like late 20s here?
Because I'm assuming if we go by his actual age, the guy that plays Victor is like 50.
So that would make Robert Joyce 70. He doesn't look 70. He's a full head of hair.
Not at all. Yeah, he was born in 51. He's like, yeah, my mother's age. Yeah, he's like 70-something.
Yeah, because Robert Joy looks wonderful. I mean, he looks great. He's great for an older guy. I mean, he looks, you know. You almost kind of think that maybe his dad would be like grandpa-ish, you know, like very...
Just, yeah, old.
Old, white-haired. Kind of. Yeah. You would imagine that, but... I guess not. I guess we're going to find out. Yeah. And that's where we kind of leave off.
I think somebody just creamed themselves because they were able to get Robert Joy. And even though the age is
that's a good get.
Appropriate on paper.
Yeah, that's true. So we're assuming it's the dad. It could be somebody else. The dad makes the most sense, but you're right. There is that little doubt until we see the next couple of episodes where it's like, we don't know the relation yet. But,
I don't know. Yeah.
Almost for certain it is. Almost for certain.
But yeah, that's about it. Nothing of note also happens in this episode. It doesn't end in any sort of insane cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah. We're back.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that you thought the Randall, was that his character name?
Oh, Randall. Yeah. From
I thought he had died, but I'm like, no, he's just stuck on that bus and he ends up being a good guy for whatever reason.
Because he ended up shooting... Who did Boyd shoot then?
I don't remember that guy. I forgot about that, actually. I forgot. I remember when Boyd got shot, but...
I just associated with that being Randall. But I think they've...
I think it was more of like a face-off, and then Randall's like, ah, fuck this, I don't care, type of deal.
I'm going to assume that the lady who had... The lady's the wrong word. The woman who had the nail in her head, because they left her there.
Oh, yeah.
Was it her husband? No. It was somebody else. Somebody else died, and then the husband lost a lot of his family. I don't know. We get so bad at remembering this show, but...
Yeah, I mean, also, it's been, like, close to 2 years.
I guess the main thing is that, like, Boyd shot... You're not supposed to kill... one of these other people because you can face consequences. Those were his rules, right? That's kind of like the thing that he's like morally up against right now, is the fact that he killed somebody who wasn't possessed or wasn't like changed in any way or didn't do anything wrong aside from like pulling a gun on him, and then Boyd was defending himself. So by his rules, Boyd should go in the box or like should be left out or whatever.
Oh, that's right. But they wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow it. And then
and Boyd's just like, oh, I'm really stressed. My wife killed herself and I don't want to deal with my kid anymore.
Because he did shoot his wife, that's right. Yeah, we found out last season he shot his wife. And that thing, whatever that evil thing was possessing, appearing as his wife to kind of give him information. Yeah. So my guess is that a lot of this is like, since it's like the day after, a lot of whatever... is like innately evil there is retaliating now against the town, because it seems like how the episode ended, they like worked to kill somebody in front of Boyd, you know, and also, which we can go into more detail, but
they killed one of them, or because Boyd killed one of them too, right?
Right, yeah. And then also that the fact that the seasons are changing, which Victor says that never happens, and that the trees are moving, and that it's now winter, and the land is spoiled, so they can't grow plants anymore. The soil's rotten. So then it seems like whatever evil thing is keeping them there is purposely making it harder for them now.
Because we also we still haven't gotten answers about who's monitoring them. Remember, they. We're able to get a signal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And somebody's like, knew, what's his name? Jim's name, and said, you shouldn't be doing this. And then that's when the storm happened.
Yes. Yeah. That clearly, I think the way the show's leaning now, it's much more in a singular kind of evil thing that's making all this happen. Puppet Master thing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because like then that night they decide to like let out the cattle, and they could clearly know or overheard, or I don't know how they got the information, but like they heard that they didn't have any food and that they would just kill off the you know the cows and goats and stuff.
That they would just kill one cow like every month.
Yeah,
because just like so they got let out. And I think the assumption with all these townspeople is that these things are dumb. Because yes. I don't know how they didn't think that was a trap. I know that they need to keep that food, but it's like...
Yeah, clearly...
I'm just saying I'm a vegan. I don't need cat... No, I was kidding. But like, yeah, they were being duped.
Yeah, we'll get to the most vegan moment where they kill the cow of the show. Yeah, and then like, so it seems like they're like listening in, or somebody's like feeding them information, right? Because like that, yeah. That night, the whatever these creatures are that walk the night or whatever.
That's why I'm saying it's fucking Donna. Donna's a bad guy. I'm like, I swear she's behind this.
Yeah, it seems like she. Yeah, it goes back to that. You brought up a point where it's like, that comes to. We started questioning Donna, and I did too, actually. Now that you just reminded me that, like, Donna's reaction to Fatimia's pregnancy was a little odd, right?
A little odd, yeah.
A little weird, the way it was... I don't know if that was intentional or not intentional, but it's always something that's, like, definitely put Donna on the radar now. But, so... What was it? Yeah, so then they like purposely set up a trap for them where they let out all the animals and they let them out. So then they have to kill the cattle. My thing is like they didn't kill the cattle before because they don't eat them, right? They just eat people, or they put one of those little stones.
I don't even think they eat people. I think they just fucking torture and kill them.
Oh,
I think they're just there to kill whoever's unlucky enough to go outside. Unlike Ethan, the dumb fucking stupid kid of the show, there's always got to be one who like ran out because like I can definitely move this 600-pound cow by myself. I'm a child. I can do it. Yeah. And run straight into an evil woman that was like or like one of the things right there.
Right, yeah. And then we have Sarah return.
Yeah, which I think the greatest... detriment to these evil things is they don't believe in running, so people are lucky in that respect.
It's true, they don't walk. They're like Michael Myers. They don't really
run. Casually strolling, yeah.
Yeah, and then I feel like about the Ethan character, it's kind of like I feel like for drama's sake, they write him to be incredibly dumb.
Yeah,
right. Like they purposely do it just to kind of. Create this drama and like how affecting manipulating us and trying to think that it's like this kid is going through so much and stuff, but it's like kind of unnecessary because
what's her name? Julie was able to pull Ethan away from the thing,
mm-hmm.
which Julie's been through a lot and is still not okay. And then luckily Sarah Myers pops out of nowhere again. Remember, because Boyd kept her alive secretly.
Right.
And is able to like hide them.
Yeah. So
I think we hated Sarah Myers because I mean she was just like a heel at the beginning, but
well,
I think it was unintentional. I don't think like after she accidentally killed her brother, I think she had a change of heart, right?
She was getting manipulated. Yeah, she was getting manipulated by the things she was talking to.
I'm just saying, as long as they keep Elizabeth. Moy as a character, hopefully nothing bad happens to that character.
She's really the glue of this whole show.
Yeah, because she's the only one that has good ideas. Like our crops are dying, and she's like in the best English she can, which she's like great at pretending she doesn't know English. She's like in the best broken English is like, okay, we plant crops in different places, right? We just do this, that's what we do, like quit freaking out. And Boyd and Donna are like, yeah, it's a good idea.
She had good ideas, so therefore she has to die.
That's what, yeah.
I think...
Well, she's not dead yet, but yeah, you can safely assume she's going to die.
I think the so far, I think the storyline that absolutely went nowhere was Jim and Kenny. They go out and to go look for his wife, Tabitha, yeah. And they try to take the same path as Boyd, but instead of running into all the nests or whatever, the spider webs,
yeah.
They find like a really weird, which I think is going to be like the new thing for the season, where the really weird, almost like it's lost in time, like a new area, because you know, like they say the forest is moving around, so it looked like these cabins. Like old, you know, 1800s style cabins that were settled there, and then they have like these weird faces with like nails in them and stuff like that. I guess I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I guess that's going to be like the mystery going forward, is figuring out what's going on there.
Yeah.
But they kind of have like a pointless scene where like, oh yeah, we're gonna go, and then by the nighttime they're like, I have a complete change of heart. I'm going to go back to my kids. So it's kind of just weirdly plotted. And because it's like clearly they're doing that because they want to pull Kenny away so his mom could die. And, you know, that was one outcome of it. And then they're using them to introduce this new thing that I'm assuming they're going to come back to again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think... You've always been on the not a fan side, but now I'm like really not a fan of the Jim character. He can die. It's fine. Yeah. He's been saved too many times at this point. Like, I don't know why he's still around.
Yeah, and I think that some of that is like on purpose. I feel like they're writing him in a way that is like a paranoid kind of like, I have to know the truth of this place.
Yeah.
Type of character, which which blinds him to a lot of realities. And he should be taking care of his family. He should have noticed that Tabitha was kind of like in the same headspace of trying to like, because she was like digging through the house last season. Why she allowed that? So it's kind of like Jim kind of like realizing like, oh, maybe my family is important, more important than this fucking place. So.
Yeah. I mean, probably make sure you take care of your daughter who's gone through a lot, and your son who's losing it. Or run into the forest to try to find your wife, who's probably dead.
Yeah, so it's...
That's the move. That, you know, leave them... You know, either you keep both parents or none. Like, that's the rule. You know, mm-hmm. In general. That's the rule of life. You can't have just one parent.
I mean, I guess real quickly, let's just end it on the Boyd thing. That... I thought it's interesting, because Boyd is... kind of reeling from last season a little bit, because he's still seeing the priest, who I think is not on his side, who's giving him the wrong information, right?
Yeah,
the priest that died.
It's confusing, yeah.
But he seems to be listening to him, which is not good. And he's sort of, since coming back, he's sort of just reacting to like the crops and with Donna and like the people and stuff like that. He's kind of like doesn't have the same control anymore, which leads to probably the best scene in the show, right, was the way the big climax of the show, where it's like they get stuck in the barn and then the creatures, the people that come out at night, hold them back and make them watch them kill Kenny's mom, right?
Yeah, Kenny's mom. So, yeah, I think as Boyd previously in the season 2 had mentioned, like, he's not going to let this place break him.
Right.
So, and it's interesting that these things, whatever they are talking about it like, it is the place, not them.
Because mm-hmm.
they kept mentioning things like, oh, you said this place can't break you. So, like, that's a weird way to phrase things.
Mm-hmm. Just basically repeating what he said. And
after they ripped a cow's throat out, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like... clearly they're, like... you know what I mean? Like, they're attacking these people now. Like, they're... which... I was like, that's a little weird that they're holding them back. I thought they were like kind of like more savage creatures or whatever. They didn't think very much about it, but clearly they're like organized and they're like, they kind of move and think as one, because now they're and there's a little bit of history of it, because they did put that woman we talked about a bit ago, but with that, with the nail through her head,
and made her just so they would find her later,
just so they can find her later. So you can see that they're also like vindictive, sadistic. Yeah. So that's how the episode ends, and I was like, "Holy fuck!" I'm so happy Frum is back.
Oh, there's also Jade is.
Oh, yeah.
Either very close to figuring something out, or has completely lost it.
I'm lost on this plot line. Yeah, I think it's been going in circles a bit. You know.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be pretty important. It's just like right now, he just seems like he's lost it.
He's in this storyline where like he is having visions of the kids. It looked like they were using the kids for something, and then because he had saw those that shape, and so he's been trying to like, you know, find it again. And then I think he had like visions of it at the end of last season, where he sees the kids sitting around the rock, and then they're and then he's like obsessed about it, like he's still in the bar or whatever.
Yeah, like he was trying to befriend Victor, who would have given more information, but he got mad at Victor, right?
Right, yeah.
I think he needs to talk to Elgin, and then something's going to happen from there.
Yeah, Elgin. Oh, yeah, that's right. Elgin had another one of those. I think they're planting that, because I think he's probably going to start becoming more important too, Elgin, who sees the... She's credited as the kimono woman, which is like this ghostly husk type, very skinny woman in a kimono who's like... He saw last season try to drown him, and now he's having visions of him, of her and somebody else, this woman too, who we don't know.
Which I think, I don't know if that woman's real or not, because she was in a scene without him previously, and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that was intentionally very vague. So they're kind of reminding us to just, oh yeah, he has visions or he has things going on. So hopefully that plays a part for the season, but. Super excited. Glad it's back. Probably going to watch it as soon as we're done here. But
see. Yeah, I'll leave off on this one bit of trivia. The director of this episode,
Jack Bender. Yeah.
Jack Bender famously directed Child's Play 3, baby. That's right. Whoa. We're not straying away from Chucky just yet.
Wow. It's true. He always comes back, isn't it? Hey. Chucky, I killed Chucky.
Yeah. We're just waiting for a Brad Dourif sort of doll to pop out.
I know. Brad Dourif's going to be the... What is he? The milkman now? Or something. Yeah. This. Awesome trivia. Awesome fact. Glad Frum is back. Alrighty. Yeah, John, do you want to get into the main review?
Yes.
But first, I got to hit you with some trivia.
Oh, man, 2009 was a weird time. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. John, what do you think was the number one song of the year 2009?
God, I can't even think of
it. And if you get it right, I know you looked it up. Because I don't remember this song at all either.
Oh, so it's not like a random band like Phoenix or anything like that?
It's not Phoenix, by the way. No.
2009, shit.
Was 2009 List of Media? Off side question.
I don't remember.
That's close.
Damn, was it a pop song?
Definitely, yes. That seems to be the pattern. It's always like the most mainstream, accessible song of the time.
It wasn't like Miley Cyrus or anything, right?
No.
Was it Carly Rae Jepsen?
No.
That was after. Shit. I give up. I don't know.
Okay. Let me play the number one song from the year 2009. Any guesses?
Black Eyed Peas. I thought that song was older. I didn't know that was 2009.
Yeah. What is it? Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas was the number one song.
Actually, I worked in a Black Eyed Peas music video once.
Oh. Nice.
Did you know Fergie was just contracted to be with them for a little bit? She was never part of the group, apparently.
Oh.
A little bit of trivia. And Will.i.am is Haitian and does not eat dogs or cats, apparently. So that's debunked.
Yeah. you saw his dietary restrictions when you're
yeah. I paid attention to what he ate. I was like, what are you going to eat? All right.
I followed him around set. All right. John, what was the number one movie, highest grossing movie of 2009?
God, why the fuck were the early or like the odds just drawing a blank? Was it a Superman movie?
There were no Superman movie. Nope. No Superman in this movie.
Was it... Okay, 2009. God, okay. Was it a Jurassic Park movie?
No, but it was a sequel.
Hmm.
So you're kind of in the right field there.
Is it a Fast and the Furious movie?
No.
Nah, I'm out of guesses.
You gotta, yeah, that's as far as I go back. Yeah. It was Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which I think is... second one? You're a big Transformer guy, John. Come on, you know this.
Because the fourth one is where they base it in Austin, right? It's what's his face, Mark Wahlberg?
Yes. Yeah. Which I don't remember the name of either. I did see it though.
And yeah, where they fucking kill TJ Miller in like a really awesome dramatic fashion. He's just like in the background getting smushed by something. I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
What he deserves. I think it's the second one.
I don't remember this one. Yeah, that probably makes sense.
Because the third one was when they were in Chicago, right? And somebody takes hostage of Chicago. I don't remember what it was called though. So I think The Revenge of the Fallen. Yeah, it's the second one. All right. Famously, I saw this movie in the theater, and
you paid money for a Michael Bay movie?
Yeah. This 2009 is a different time. I went to watch it by myself, and did I watch it by myself? Yeah, I think I did watch it by myself. And I remember them getting to the pyramids, and I was like, okay, great, it's gonna wrap up. Only an hour had passed. I'm like, holy shit. There's still 2 more hours of this movie left, dude.
Oh, this is the movie with that... there's like the junk plane, but he's just like an old Transformer.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And they introduce the two smaller robots that are brothers, right? The
incredibly racist ones. Is that this movie?
Yeah.
They're Asian?
I think so, yeah.
Quote, unquote, Asian...
It's the dinosaurs, right? This one too, or no?
No, I think that was Age of Extinction?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Last night? Sorry, I'm just checking what that third one was called. Oh, Dark of the Moon, that's right. Where they try to presuppose Transformers came during Kennedy times and set up on the moon. So yeah, this is the second one. Anyways, we spent way too much time on Transformers.
Yeah, yeah. I had a rough time with Transformers. I think I saw the first one because I was really excited, and I was like, I don't think I like this.
Yeah.
It's basically Bad Boys, except like it's Transformers.
Whoa. Bad Boys is one of those series that I have I just watch. I enjoy. Hey, I enjoy watching it.
But would you enjoy Bad Boys if they were robots that were aliens? Yeah.
That sounds where the series is going if you saw the last one. So, no, that's not true at all. I'll just make that up. So,
like, maybe I will watch it.
Yeah. No. All right. Let's keep going. Here's a good question. This is a good question. What do you think was the highest grossing horror movie of that year?
2009. Was it a Saw movie?
No, it was not. But it is... I'll just preface this. It is something we reviewed for the show.
Okay, so it's not Hostile. It was a Paranormal Activity movie?
Okay, it is. It is, but which one? Maybe he says, you got it right.
It would have to be like the third one, right?
No, it's fourth one. Actually, it's the first one.
The first one?
The first one. That blew my mind too. I was like, oh my God, dude, that's it. That is when the first one came out.
We're not that much older than that movie, are we? Damn, yeah, that's blowing my mind too.
Shit. Yeah, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. But yeah, $107 million Paranormal Activity movie. I guess because literally they put them out every year after. That tracks, right?
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like every year they would put out one. And maybe
when did the Blair Witch Project come out? That was early 2000s, right?
That was 99.
Okay.
Yes. Right? 90.
So 10 years later they make Paranormal Activity and it sells. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, 2009. Yeah, because that was still a popular thing.
Yeah.
What is it? Found footage horror movies. And the movie we're talking about today finished 50th. So
not surprising.
Made just a little bit more money than the third one. But now we go into the final destination. The final. There would be no more. The final destination.
No more final. Just two more.
Just maybe one more. Maybe one coming up. This is the final one.
That's it.
That's it, though. Alrighty. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I just want to say I spent this entire movie looking for the Easter eggs because I thought this is the one that had the twist ending.
Yeah.
I kept seeing things going like, ah, clever. No, it wasn't. It was just fucking set pieces. Right. For the final destination, coming in at number three, where the hell's Tony Todd?
Yeah, exactly.
For the final destination, coming in at number two, regular day in Florida movie.
Pretty much,
just yeah. Dumb people. And coming in for my plot descript of the final destination, Death's just fucking around now.
He's just having fun. CGI fun.
Which is where I landed with this. I'm like, all right, now that Death's just kind of dicking around, I kind of enjoy this.
Yeah. Okay. I think, unfortunately, I feel like there's only so many disasters you can do. Because this movie, this franchise is predicated on amazing first big disasters, right? Like we had a huge plane crash, we had the fucking logs, the big traffic accident, we had the roller coaster, which, you know, that was interesting. But now it only makes sense, you know, from roller coaster we go to NASCAR racing.
You know what I thought was kind of funny, which I was like, you know, they understand what these movies are now. They're not trying too hard to fucking, like, individualize every single fucking character. Like, one of the people that stays alive, he's just the racist. That's his character name. The racist.
Yeah. And the...
And he kills himself. I mean, I guess Death kills him, quote unquote.
Yeah, come on, John.
But he kills himself in the most Floridian way.
How?
Oh, just dumb. Like, all of it was avoidable.
Yeah. And literally, not only that, but also Krista Allen, the mother who put the tampons in the kids' ears, name is MILF.
No.
So they really want you to emotionally invested in MILF and racist, and racist's wife, mechanic's girlfriend.
Mechanic's girlfriend. Mechanic.
I think...
Mechanic who was the only guy that like took whatever lines he had and tried to do something nice. I was like, ah, I kind of like seen this guy a little more, I guess.
Yeah, and returning to the franchise is David Ellis, who made the second one. Probably his last movie before he passed away too, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 2013, so...
And based on what we saw in Final Destination 2, he definitely has a much more like heavy emphasis on action. You know, this guy can direct set pieces. He directed that awesome, like, you know, traffic highway accident. and, you know, less characters, but the deaths are going to be good. The deaths are going to be interesting. But getting into the review, like, I did not think this movie lived up. This is probably the lowest point in the franchise, I'm going to say. This was painfully bad.
I actually like this one more than the third one.
Oh.
And it was mostly because they didn't waste time trying to, like, get to know characters. These people were just trying to figure out how to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a lot of, like, they put too much, like, mythos in the third one, I think. But I started getting kind of irritated because I was like, who cares?
And they didn't even follow some of the rules, right? Like, they didn't, like, have this elaborate... They didn't figure out how death was going to kill them. They just sort of...
No. They just, at some point, deduced, oh, okay, well, we need... I think we're dying in order. Like, they just kind of like, maybe.
Yeah.
And then try to figure out who is where and whatnot.
Right. So this one, I think what you're saying is, like, this one is much more like, woo, we're going to have a good time. We're going to start killing people. Dead teenager movie.
Let's fucking kill them in, like, the most ridiculous ways possible. Let's not worry about anatomy and shit like that. Like, one guy literally goes through a random-ass thick, like, a weird-style fence.
Oh, yeah,
turns
yeah.
Into
the mechanic.
Chunks, which doesn't work that doesn't way, work but yeah.
Yeah. Because he gets an air compressor.
I was even thinking, like... I was thinking, like, well, I wonder how this guy's going to die, because they were literally separated by this fucking fence. I'm like, why are they on the other side of the fence right now? why do they have the conversation like this?
Yeah.
I also like that half, like, two of these characters were already suicidal. Like, it was just like, oh, it's fine.
I think partly why I think this whole franchise is underrated is because, you know, you had a really good turns from, like, Devin Sawa in the first one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the second one, even the second one, there were still interesting characters. And the third one, really enjoyed Mary Elizabeth Winstead's performance in it. Everybody else was kind of like, take it or leave it, right? But so in my opinion, those are, like, there's really good characters, good actors that are kind of anchoring this movie. This one, I think, is the opposite. I think, like, the characters are even more paper thin than they were in the last one. More forgettable. I didn't feel like anything for them. They weren't even behaving like anything relatably human. This movie, they're just terrible.
Yeah. I was going to say, not only were they poorly written, but, like, the actors were not good.
Right.
Like, at all.
Right, yeah. Like, the lead, unfortunately, looks... Like anybody of this time. Yeah, very, very, like, unassuming young part, right? And I think the biggest sin this movie has is there was way too much CG, which surprised me because David Ellis is, like, comes from that stunt background, does a lot of practical effects things, and I thought this movie was over-CG'd on top of the fact that, like, this movie is...
In its defense, I think it was a 3D movie.
No, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it was 3D and 3D movies without... Watching 3D movies without the 3D is always kind of like a rough thing. But for the review, I was like, well, I'm just going to judge it for what it is. I'm not going to use that as a crutch against it, right?
Yeah, because, yeah, it's just like, ugh, man, a sign of the times, right? It felt like everybody was trying to pop out a 3D movie.
Right, yeah.
And eventually I just stopped going to the 3D versions of the movies because I was just like, I'm going to be nauseous for, like, half the movie.
That's true. Oh, yeah. No, that's completely true, yeah. What was, like, I think, was it Avatar kind of, like, got that 3D movement going on?
Journey to the Center of the Earth, the Brendan Fraser one. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to puke.
It's just they use it as a gimmick to try to, like, get more money out of people. Just like now, what are they doing? Like IMAX too. They try to be like, oh, let's watch it in IMAX. Watch, why? Yeah, yeah, why?
Yeah, yeah. The
majority of these movies aren't shot in the IMAX camera.
Picture, like, okay. What does that mean to you? So now, because people really, really want that feeling of sitting in the front row, no matter where they're at in the theater.
You're right.
That's, like, the most sought after feeling to, like, have to turn your entire body to see one side of the fucking screen.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Or they try to, like, upsell you on, like, D-box things, like 4D things or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah, with the chairs and
stuff. Chairs and stuff, yeah. I don't know. These are old things you heard about in the 60s. You were trying.
That's what I'm thinking too. It reminds me of that movie, the one with the ants, the one with Jack Goodman. What's it called?
Ants.
Or not? I shouldn't say the ants. He's like a filmmaker that goes to this town and orchestrates this like
matinee. Yeah. Classic matinee. So I definitely had a lot of issues with just like more less about the 3D, because I can forgive it for the sake of the review, right? But yeah, the deaths and the everything was kind of forgettable. It was very cookie cutter. It was kind of like paint by numbers, in my opinion. Like, just we're gonna kill this person to the point where like we've already pointed out, like, these characters don't even have names, some of them, you know. It's just about
But something we do get in this movie is we get to see some characters die like 3 times. That was fun. So I just started watching it like, all right, what's the next ridiculous death? And I just kept like laughing. I thought it was like fun. It's a comedy. Like, at this point, I'm like, okay, this is very slapsticky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't take itself as serious as the third one. And I was like, this is fun. This is fine. Like the one guy that got, what's the name of the guy that wrote, the Chuck Palahniuk book? What's it called? Ghosts, right? The one where it's a series of shorts. There's a short called Guts, and they clearly took inspiration from that, and one guy has his guts sucked out of his body because that's the way it happened in that book.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any major issues with this movie when I was just like, it's fun. It's funny.
Honestly, like, these movies are,
I laughed a lot.
Are so, like, if the beginning disaster scene doesn't work, then I think you're kind of left hanging a little bit, because if you're not satisfied with what they've come up with, you know. And I think they took great inspiration from, like, well, of course, car crash stuff. And I think I was reading that they took inspiration from the Monza Italian crash, where it killed like 50 people or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw it. It was portrayed recently in the Ferrari movie with Adam Driver.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah. The Michael Mann movie. But they're good at it. I wasn't crazy about the movie. Like, Penelope Cruz is amazing. Adam Driver is fucking amazing. Then that the movie's okay. But
in the club.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Sorry. Rolando sent me a clip from Adam Driver's upcoming movie, and he's making fun of, I don't know. It's funny. Anyway.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. In the club. Go back to the club.
But I did like, so maybe the opening thing didn't work that well, but you get to see a lot of people just get like massacred. And then I did like, they pull everybody out of the thing. You think like, these are going to be your surviving characters. But in this movie, it's like Death again is just like, he's fucking around, but also like not wasting a whole lot of time. And like, the first person that's supposed to die immediately gets squished to death by a fucking random tire that like flies over the fucking stadium and squishes her. I'm like, us.
We had
I thought that was really funny.
That was the racist wife, right? She dies.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which probably the.
No, it wasn't the racist wife. It was the mechanic's wife. Because I remember the mechanic was like, hey, yo, can my girl have some of your binoculars? And the guy was trying to explain, oh, it's actually a flask. And he's like, basically like, no shit, Sherlock. And she asked her, because the racist wife stayed in the,
that's right,
the arena, because he was like, no, stay.
Yeah, we got Bubba from Forrest Gump played the security guard. Did he survive? You know what I'm talking about?
No, he gets squished by the bus outside of the hospital.
Oh. Yeah.
That was weird. Like, it was his turn to die, but I think they were trying to really establish, like, nah, I mean, you can't do anything. Like, you can't, if death doesn't want you to die, you're not going to die.
He's got to do it in order.
Spoilers. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know what to spoil about this movie. You, at this point, if you've seen the first three, you know.
You've already seen them all.
They're all going to die. Yeah. I thought it was weird that there was a lot of, like, if you've ever played, like, a Mortal Kombat, I think it started during this era. There's, like, a thing where,
oh, what are you talking about?
You press all your buttons and it becomes, like, an X-ray of what's happening and getting crushed and stuff. It happened a lot in this movie.
Mm-hmm. That was probably, I mean, right off the bat, I feel like the first death is just... We're definitely in the comic zone now. Because we have racist guy behaving, of course, not liking the black security guard.
Yeah, he calls him a hard R. And then the immediate line after that is like, he's threatening him, but he calls him chocolate. I'm like, is he mad at him or is he flirting with him?
Is he attracted to him?
What is this dialogue? Yeah.
It's a fine line. It's a fine line with these people.
So I'm confused what you disliked about this movie, because I was like, this movie is like, I don't need to know who these people are. They're funny.
And then he goes on to have maybe the... I will admit, this one did make me laugh. The most comically funny death I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. It's like... He gets drunk and he's gonna tow the security guard's car or something. I don't know what he's gonna do.
I thought he was gonna make like an effigy of like burn something in his yard. That's what the vibe I got.
Probably, yeah. But Death had other ideas, and as soon as his car started rolling down the street, and Death had punctured a fuel line, and the towing hitch chain was there. He's there, and the hitch just grabs him. And then he's dragged in the fucking gasoline, and then
burned alive. Yeah.
So when the security guard came out, he sees this dude, and he like rightfully so was like, "What the fuck?" The racist guy is just on fire, like screaming in the middle of the night, rolling down the street, and then the thing explodes, and his head flops right in front of him. Like,
okay, I actually preferred this. Funny. Death to the car crash scene, because this was actually...
I mean, there were a lot of really funny deaths.
They're like, I appreciate they're trying to stick it to the races. I wholeheartedly agree to that, but I mean...
It's even like the Samantha character. The amount of like times that they're almost going to kill her, and then it's just random that... A fucking guy is mowing the lawn, not paying attention at all, like smoking his stogie while staring at it, and this thing shoots straight through her head.
Yeah.
Which I thought the kids were gonna die, but I guess it's still a time of like, don't kill kids on screen.
Just make them don't kill all their parents. So they can...
That's where Frum's at right now. I think they're just gonna keep killing off everybody's parents.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, and then we lose MILF. Yeah, just the character's name, not a judgment. And then we had somebody die in a car, in a fucking car wash, the friend, right?
No, she didn't die.
Oh no, you're right. She died in the theater. You're right. Yeah.
She didn't die in the theater. I mean.
Oh my god! Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yes, she dies in the theater.
Yes.
Because this is the one movie where like the main character continuously has like epic visions.
He seems to be the most having the most premonitions moments in this series.
Also the same guy going like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah,
I'm confused by all this.
I feel like we got a good death for the racist, but we didn't get a good death for the asshole boyfriend who wanted to go to this.
Oh, the mechanic?
No. The core four friends. It was like the guy who cheats.
Oh, what? Are you serious? Like he got sucked into the bottom of the pool, and then his innards got sucked out of his body and bled onto the pool.
But they didn't like show anything explicit except for when they you see him trapped. He's like getting sucked under some device or something, and like his, I don't know how he's even remotely being sucked on there by his shorts or something, and then he
something that's pressurizing the pool, like to to clean it or whatever, and everything's getting sucked through there. Death made it go on the fritz, so it was sucking too much water, but he was like on the only drain, so the water stayed there,
right? And then
apparently this was like I said, it's from that, I think, taken from that book, which allegedly is based on a true story where some kid enjoyed the way it felt and then one day accidentally got his intestines kind of sucked out a little bit. He didn't die. It's just that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, they'd like hard cut to one of those pool filtration things that usually are there, and then you just see a bunch of blood splash out of it.
And, so. Yeah, and some guts and stuff like that.
I thought the racist one was kind of handled more like matter-of-factly. A lot of the other deaths are like more intent in seeing the person on fire down the street, or like fucking the mechanic die with his back pressed against the fence.
But I did like, he was like, again, the one guy that they had a conversation with, and he was just like, I don't know, man, like, my wife's gone and things have been bad and blah, blah, blah. And then that's when the security guard has that heart to heart for whatever fucking reason, where he's like, I also want to kill myself. He didn't say that, but he was like, because I was a drunk driver and I killed my wife and kid. So they have a heart to heart, and I was like, okay, this mechanic guy seems like he's a good dude, actually. And he almost lives. And then he gets smushed into some chunks of flesh through a very thick, like, it's like a lattice type fence, but like it's thick, kind of wide.
Yeah.
It's like 2 inches wide.
Sometimes these refer to like as what is it, like hurricane fences is what they call them, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
But like thicker. I didn't like yeah, very natural looking.
Yeah, it's a fence. I mean, it's a like, I think we're like over describing it, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've never seen like a fence like this in person. It was as I was looking at it, I was like, I'm assuming this guy's gonna die because of this fence. I've never seen a fence this, like, not long. I'm like, the width of the fence was abnormal.
Like, probably because he got to die in it. That's probably. Yeah. It's fine. Cool. Should we go into spoilers?
Well,
the last part. The last part of the movie we'll just spoil. So if you don't, we're going into spoilers right now.
Wait. No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So there's a vision. The two girls that survive, one of the girls starts to have a feeling too, and the other girl's like, I can't live my life like this. And they explode in a movie theater. Because there's some very, very sloppy construction workers leaving every single thing you're not supposed to leave out. And the main guy has this premonition, and it starts when they celebrate, because the security guard also thinks like they're okay. And as they're walking across the street, he gets smushed by a bus. Which we had already seen once happen in this movie, because the beginning of the movie recaps all the previous deaths from the movies.
Just out of ideas.
So I was like, oh, just yeah. And it was like, yeah, very quick, like very sudden. And he only has enough time to say, watch out, before his buddy gets smushed.
Yeah.
But he does save the day, because he sets off the sprinklers. Which I'm sure wouldn't have been enough water to not make that thing explode, but whatever.
Right, yeah.
So, they saved the day. They're all happy. I was waiting for them to get on a plane. I was even curious as to why they showed an article of the crash. I'm like, that doesn't make sense, right? Because there's a twist ending.
Yep.
Nope, wrong movie.
Yeah.
And then what does he say? Like, what if we're supposed to be there the whole time? I'm like, okay. And it doesn't even show their deaths, right? It becomes that thing, like I said, that happens in Mortal Kombat, where you see like an X-ray version of everybody's death.
Yeah, and from what I understand, they had to, again, this seems to be a common theme for this series, is that they had to like reshoot the ending again. The studio didn't like it, so they reshot it. So I think he was supposed to die. The theater was supposed to be the big climactic end, which kind of makes sense, because I can see them imagining like the first 3D movie, which was kind of like what they anticipated the third one was going to be, but I think they didn't have the budget for it. So, of course, they're going all in on like, we're going to make the fourth one a 3D movie, setting it in a theater that they're watching 3D in. It's like, it kind of like makes sense as a climactic end scene.
It's like Love Lays Dying, which not a real movie. I looked it up.
Yeah, and then... So then,
and I looked it up only because I thought that was another Easter egg about a movie that came out in 2001, because I'm a fucking idiot.
they shot the ending with the escalator, only instead of saving her, he sacrifices himself. And then he jumps inside the whatever, the death escalator parts. But nobody liked that ending either. And then they came upon this one where the three surviving members are in the coffee shop, and then like they get run over by a truck or whatever. It crashes into the coffee shop.
I think it should have just ended there. Like right when his girlfriend gets meat grinded from the escalator part,
mm-hmm.
and just him like very Drag Me to Hell, like the way it ended, just along, just like you know.
Yeah.
If it ended there, he'd be like, okay, he's gonna die eventually. Too bad we don't get to see it, but like also that's a cool way to end it.
Yeah. So you're saying Sam Raimi should do a Final Destination movie?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It is not his fault. People didn't understand his take on Doctor Strange, which was more accurate to Jack Kirby. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Make it fucking weird. Anyway.
Honestly, they should have just like backed up a dump truck of money to Scott Derrickson. Just let him continue the fucking movie instead of like pressuring him to make what they wanted and then like film it really fast, which he didn't want to do, I believe, is what I heard. So, but then we may have never gotten the black phone, right?
Oh, well.
Or delayed, which could have changed the cast, right? We would have gotten Ethan Hawke and amazing performance.
What? When did the last Final Destination come out? It was like 2011, right? 2012?
I don't know. Good question.
So there's still plenty of time to make the black phone.
Let's see. Final Destination 5 came out 2011, so literally next year.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Which I guess I did see this one. I don't know how.
I remember the trailer. It may or may not have
been illegally, actually, because I think I'd already moved. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't remember.
Let's just don't say anything. Yeah. All right.
So this is that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is The Final Destination, which was not The Final Destination.
Yeah. So pretty wah kind of ending, kind of like. Even I understand that the whole thing of turning it into like X-ray, showing them getting ran over, getting heads cracked or exploded or whatever, like that's supposed to be fun, and I get it. It's whatever. I mean, it's very not a particularly satisfying ending. And I feel like this is kind of like the trend of these movies. The endings are always, they always want to do something like one last like big moment thrill before they cut to black. So,
but that felt like they just seriously ran out of money and they're like, just CGI it because
yeah.
We have to kill off three people in one sitting.
I think the only thing I liked was about that is like the credit sequence, they showed the other deaths too of past movies. Was that right? I thought that was cool. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
That happened in the right after the cold open, they did that also.
That's right. Yeah. That's where I saw it. Yeah. That part was interesting. That's cool. But not much else. Not much else.
Again, I feel like I enjoyed this movie a lot more. That ending was not great. That was not a good
ending. It's a long time climax, yeah. Alrighty. John, do you have any other thoughts before we rate it?
No, just I don't think it's the Final Destination, but yeah.
Oh no, John, you're telling me a movie called The Final Destination is not the last movie?
I just don't think Death's Final Destination would be Florida.
Where does the other movie take place? Are we sure? Are we sure it's not Florida?
One's briefly in Paris.
Oh, this one has to take place wherever the first one is. Spoiler. We know that spoiler. So let's pretend like we don't for the next episode.
Oh, for the next
movie? For the next movie, yeah, it has to take place. Yeah. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give The Final Destination 5 sexy spooky bones.
Wow. The same one as 3? Did you give it 5? I think you gave it 5. You changed it to 5 because you were going to give it like a 4.
Yeah. I feel like...
You think you want to change?
No, I feel like they're pretty on par with each other, to be honest.
Right. I am going to go, of course, lower. I've been more negative on it. I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
So... For part 5, I'm leaving room between 3 and 5 because I rated 3, 5, and 4, the final decision, 3. So I'm waiting room for 4. Yeah. Or 10. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
That's true, yeah. No, I really do feel like 3 and this one, if you want to just watch them for completion's sake. Because, again, these aren't like... Of the, you know... movie series we've done, these have been better than some of the Halloween movies and definitely better than some of the Freddy movies.
Yeah, I agree with that. At least, like, it's bad, but they're like not like, I don't know how to describe it, like, they're still watchable, they're still like fine. Yeah. It's fine.
And something they started doing in the third one that they really did in this one was like, they just like, fuck the lore. Let's not talk about Death's Design or whatever that bullshit is anymore. It's just, it's happening.
We're just going to murk all the kids. It's just about murking kids. This is the audience.
Yeah, you came to sit in a theater to watch a bunch of, well, this one wasn't even kids, right? It was all like adults, I guess.
But, it's true, yeah.
Just
none of them went to school. Yeah. That's true. We never got
watching it. These people die. So we're either going to make them likable or you're going to hate them and they're going to die regardless.
Yeah, this is where we're trying to cater to what we think our audience wants, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Come on!
Boys and